Very few things show up in all four of the Gospels. Lord's table is one. So we have a lot of renditions of a similar story. Luke chapter 22. Let's pray before we start tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for what tonight represents. And God, as we dedicate some time in our hearts and in our minds to think about you, to think about the cross, thinking about the cost of salvation, Lord, I pray that we would be sober about these thoughts, but also, God, may we fellowship around that thought. May we rejoice in those thoughts. For it is the key to our salvation, your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, I pray that again that you bless service here tonight, that, Lord, we present this event and the light in which you so desire. And God, that you'd speak to us. And Lord, as we examine ourselves, we'd be honest, as it's been said already. Honest with you, honest with ourselves, and Lord, help us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been telling you for the past week or so, we're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. Lord's Supper is not a dinner on the grounds. It is not a meal. It is a time where we dedicate some time to reflect on what Christ went through. And we do that, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, we do that in obedience because He told us to. We talk about these things in obedience because He told us to. We rehearse this story over and over and over again, so we never forget it. Maybe in your family you'll remember something, and you'll look back in a picture. Remember picture albums? Remember those? Not just the USB that you put into the computer or TV, but actual picture albums. And they were broken up by years. You know, this is from, you know, 85 to 86. 1985 to 1986. And there you are. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And why would you do that? My sister and I, we would look through those things. Mom, tell us a story about this. Why is there peanut butter all over in Nick's hair? Oh, well, we gave him the jar of peanut butter, and he just went crazy, and we just left him. So now we know about that story. And every time we would open up that book, we would rehearse the story of when I was two, and I got peanut butter all in my hair. Every time we get to Luke chapter 22, we rehearse what Christ went through. Why? So we do not forget. Because it's such an important act that He put it in all four Gospels that we would never forget this. I want to talk a moment about the preparation. If we look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 7, this is going to be, and it works so well with this morning's message. Remember where He sends him for the colt, and there he is, and it's very similar in this. If we can imagine this scenario, again, let's not take any of this information for granted and not just breeze through it, but really think about what would I do if someone showed up like that? Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." This is Christ sending Peter and John. He said, "Hey, go ahead and get this thing ready." And they said unto Him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" Honest question, right? You don't have a house, Christ. There's no banquet hall available. All of these things have already been set up. This is a big deal. This is like, this would be the equivalent of our maybe Thanksgiving type of scenario where specific things are needed. It would be difficult on the fourth Thursday of November to go out and say, you know what, I'm gonna have Thanksgiving this year. Well, by the time to, you wouldn't have time to thaw the turkey, you wouldn't have time to prepare all that. So Peter and John are kind of like, we're open to whatever ideas you might have, Lord. Because we're right up against it. There's not a lot of time to do this. And he says this, and he said unto him, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bringing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. Let's just stop for a minute and examine that. I want you to go to that town. When you walk into that town, there's going to be a guy walking down the street with a pitcher of water. Follow him to his house and go right in with him. Is that strange to anybody? Like, anybody go home this afternoon, right? You walk into your house. Imagine if two guys followed you into your house, Mrs. Buck. How'd that go? Yeah, no. We can't even talk about things like that. No. Woo! Two guys follow this man into the house. And that's exactly... So, number one, they come into the town, and sure enough, there's a man walking with a pitcher of water. And they just come in right behind and follow him. And they say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Can I just stop for a second and ask you to consider the man with the pitcher of water, his conversation maybe with his wife and family? You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I think we should use the upstairs and establish the Passover up there. All right, Dad, that sounds great. Sure, honey, that's an excellent idea. Let's do that. I know there's only four of us, but I want to make it for, I don't know, let's make it for 12. Why 12? I don't know. Did the man know why he was doing it? Had no idea. Did he know Peter and John were going to come by his way? No idea. But that's what happened. The master saith unto him, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover of my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. Hey, show us the room. Oh, the room that you're waiting for is upstairs. Fully furnished. Exactly what you will need. Is that strange to anybody else? It's not strange to the Lord. In light of what we saw this morning, his knowledge is perfect. That's why it's so important that we're open to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, because you don't know what someone else is doing in someone else's life. I'm telling you, yesterday we were looking at that map and we're going, where do we want to go? There is 2,500 homes in the 14464 area code. Zip code. Sorry, zip code, not area code. Why did we go to that street yesterday? Out of all the streets, because the Jehovah's Witnesses were going down that street. Or, coincidence, I'm sure. But the same coincidence that there was a man walking down the street carrying a pitcher of water that used his entire guest chamber that year, for some reason, for 12 people. And he invited them in. And was not alarmed by two strangers saying, we're here to use your room. Maybe God's working that you don't know, that you don't even make sense of. I'm thankful for the man here. The good man, it says. And he shall show you a large room, upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. Preparation for the Passover. Again, we see the knowledge of God and the workings of the Lord. Let's take the Passover out of it just for a moment. And I want to ask you, what is he preparing you for? The right answer is, I have no idea. I don't know. But I'm going to do what he says. And I'm going to go where he leads, and I'm going to do exactly what he says, even if it doesn't make sense, because someday there might be a knock at my door, and there's two guys saying, hey, there's a room that we're supposed to be using here, and I say, to which I respond, hopefully, I know it's already. I don't know what God's doing in my life or what he's doing in your life, but he's preparing you for something. Something is getting prepared because he wants to work. So we just got to be ready, and as our next statement, obedient to what he has. This good man laying in bed one night just thinking, this is crazy. I can't believe I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm doing this. This is going to cost me a lot more, but the master had it all set up. There might be things in your life that just don't make sense, but God is leading you to do them because he's working something over here, and you're just one little thing over here, and he's going to bring something by your way. Just be open to his leading, whatever that may be. So, the Lord's Supper. There's two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we do it out of obedience. You know, God blesses obedience. So how does he bless obedience? And we've heard this over and over again. God blesses obedience in our life with joy. When you pass the obedience test, you know what happens? There's joy. You cannot have joy without obedience. At the end of the Passover, and we'll talk about it at the end, they sing a song. There's joy in their hearts. Obedience brings joy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll come back here in a little while, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he says this, this do in remembrance of me. He commanded us. It's an obedience. See, well, he's talking to the disciples. It's carried on over and over again. This in 1 Corinthians is not the disciples. What 1 Corinthians is, Paul is correcting the church of Corinth because they messed some things up. Previously in the passage, they were using it as a feast. They were using it as a fellowship. Dinner on the grounds, Lord's Supper. And Paul's like, hey, this is not what this is for. The purpose of this is for a remembrance. So why do it? We obey. Obedience. See, it doesn't make sense. It's a. What's so special about this little cracker? What's so special about this? Nothing. It's a unsalted saltine. It doesn't make sense. It's an unsalted cracker. There's nothing holy about. I'm getting myself in trouble here. There's nothing spiritual about this cracker. It's what it does in our heart and our mind. I know it doesn't make sense, but we do it. Over and over and over again. Because we're obeying God. How long do we do it for? Well, it tells us in verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show... show the Lord's death till he come. We do this until he tells us to stop. Until he comes back and calls us out of here, we keep doing this. I remember Pastor Kopacheski used to say, this might be our last one. This might be it. This could be the last time we do this, because the time we stop is when Jesus calls us home. The rapture could be this week. It's in anticipation. We're excited about that. You know, we talked in our Sunday school class this morning. You know there's a crown associated with loving his appearing. There's a reward in heaven. There's only five crowns given in heaven. One of which is loving his appearing. Another one is a martyr's crown. Another one is a soul winner's crown. One is to endure temptation. And one is a a leadership, or what we would call a pastor's crown, to handle responsibility well. Those are the five crowns given, and one of which is loving His return. Hey, do this until He comes back. Can I tell you, I hope this is our last one. Why? Because that means we're no longer here. I understand things are getting difficult and hard and ugly. There's a sign-up sheet out there about, sending a letter to the governor because of his just complete apostasy towards the things of God. I get that. But I'm not excited about heaven because I'm getting out of something. I'm excited about heaven to see Jesus. I can endure this life. But I'm excited about heaven because I want to see Christ. There's a big difference. Do we anticipate His return? Why do we do this? Well, in obedience. Number two, to anticipate His return. Number three, 1 Corinthians 11:26. Again, a verse that we've already looked at. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Because it helps us remember this thing right here. It brings it to our mind again. It's like looking through the photo albums. Oh yeah, remember when? Although I never saw this, it makes me talk about it. It makes me consider it. It makes me think about it. It makes me meditate on it. It makes it personal again to me. Now, we know it's not for salvation. It was this one. All right. Sorry. I'll keep this one out. This one will be mine. Eating this does not save your soul from hell. Eating this does not save your soul from your sin, the penalty of your sin. It does not. It cannot. It does not turn into the body of Christ. We do not believe in transubstantiation. This, when I eat it, does not turn into the literal body of Christ. When I drink that, does not actually turn into the blood of Christ. It just makes me think about those things. It just makes me think. Think about the cruel punishment He went through for my sin. Everyone handles circumstances differently. Some people like to talk about things. Some people don't like to talk about things. Can I say there's no right or wrong? But when my mom passed away, for me, it was just easier just not to talk about it. That's how I dealt with it. That was just me. Why? Because I didn't want to talk about it. Couldn't change it. Didn't like talking about it. That's how I handled it. And sometimes we look at this and go, well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't like to talk about that. Well, doing this makes it so we talk about it. That we have to consider it. Understand, yes, it's not for salvation. The benefit of it is for me. Those that are saved, to remember His death. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll look there. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 9. Hebrews 10:9 says, Then said He, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You understand, these offerings here can never take away sins. Even if I held them up over my head and said, this is holy, and this will never take away sins. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down in the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's not the cracker. It's not the juice. It was him on the cross. And this just reminds me of it. Some of our ladies or whatever, maybe wear a cross, or maybe have a t-shirt that has a cross on it. Why? Because it draws attention to it. Why do we do this? Because it reminds us. It doesn't save us. No. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's an obedience. It's an anticipation. It's a remembrance of the Lord's death. It's not for salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. We're going to read some verses. We're going to read 16 through 22. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 22. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? What is this? Is this anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? What does the Lord's table do? Separates. All right, this is God's way. Well, we're going to take in and go do something else. You're seated at the table of devils. See, those are strong words. I'm just reading the verse. It's a separator. Those that obey and do it right, well, they're His children. They're His children not because they do it. As His children, they do it. There's a difference. So what do we use? Well, we use, I don't know what brand, Tops, maybe? Tops brand, saltine, unsalted, unleavened crackers. No leaven in it. And then we use maybe Tops brand 100% grape juice. Thank you, Mr. Seatman. Why don't we use wine? Proverbs chapter 20. Just two verses real quick about wine. Proverbs chapter 20. What does the Bible say about alcohol? Well, I'm just going to read you the verses. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. For a person to stand up and say, no, wine is fine, you're deceived. You're not wise. It's not wise. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll read 6 verses. And then we'll move on. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. Can you listen to these verses? Just listen to them for a moment. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth this color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Those are snakes. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? And the saddest verses of the passage. I will seek it yet again. What good thing does alcohol bring to a person's life? Woe, sorrow, contention, babbling, wounds, stings. And yet they return yet again. No, it is not alcohol, it's just juice. Just grape juice, fruit of the vine. There's a danger in alcohol. So before we partake of that, I'm going to show you a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. In Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So who am I in charge of examining? First two words. Examine who? Yourself. No nudging spouses. No poking children. No, you just examine yourself. Why would I examine myself? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says this, so the passage here is talking about the Lord's table, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that cup and eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I know it sounds crazy, but be careful if you approach this right here. I'm talking tonight. You approach this with unconfessed or unexamined sin. Say, why? What's going to happen? The Lord just warns us. He says, be careful that you not do that. That's the second blessing in all of this. Sometimes we'll have company over. And when we have company over, it's a twofold blessing. Number one, we get to fellowship, right? I mean, we love fellowship. We love playing games and being with people and eating good food. If you know me, if you're with me at any time, we will eat well. That's what happens. Well according to me. It might be not well according to you, but well according to me. And when we have, so number one, there's the fellowship, which this is the fellowship. But the second part is getting ready for the fellowship. The cups and plates that we drink and eat out of every single day all of a sudden come out of the cupboard. And there's a mass cleaning of these things. We're making sure there's no spots on the cups as we place them at the table for our special guests. All of a sudden the kids are cleaning underneath their bed, underneath their dressers. Why? Because company's coming over. We're rearranging, we're vacuuming behind places that no eye will ever see, but we are preparing for the fellowship. I'm not saying anything that you don't do, right? You all do this? Okay, thank you, Nathan. We get ready for these things. Hey, one of the benefits of this tonight, yes, is the thought of that, but the second benefit is the examination, where we get things clean and right. Because he has some pretty strong warnings against not. Don't take that lightly. Examine yourself. Psalm 26. Not that we drink out of dirty cups at our house. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, Mr. Perry, you know what I'm saying with that? Are you good with that? We get it? Okay, good. Psalm 26 and verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. We don't have school this week, nor next Monday. So next time we come to school is Tuesday. I've worked with our school... How many years? How old is Joe? Joe was born, so 13 years? 13 years. Are you 13? Yes. Okay. 13 years. We've had a lot of students come through. I'll tell you one thing I have never had. Never in all 13 years. I've never had a student come to me with their paces in hand and say, Pastor Russo, will you just look over my work? Tell me if there's any errors or mistakes. Actually, quite the opposite. When I walk into a classroom, I watch flags come down. A flag is the way to notify the teacher, I have a question. When I walk in the room, all of a sudden, I see this. Why? Because they don't want the principal coming over examining their stuff. When they're at the scoring table, and I'm there, I come in, and I just see shoulders drop. Because I can look right over their shoulder and see what they're doing. You'll never see them score faster than when I walk into the room. We looked at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Psalm 26:2 takes it to a whole new level. Examine me, O Lord. That's you laying yourself right on the altar and say, God, whatever, I need you to show me me. It's bringing all my schoolwork and putting it on the principal's desk and saying, look it over. I think there's something not right in there, but I can't find it. God, look me over. I know, I'm sure there's something in there that's just not right. I need you to find it and show me. Examine me. Why don't we like going to the doctor? Because we don't want to hear the news. We don't like to go for examinations. So what should we look like? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 5. What does it mean to mortify? What do you say, Chet? To kill, to destroy. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Does that mean we kill one another? No. The answer is no. But there's things in our own personal lives that ought to be destroyed. And it gives us the list. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And you read that list and go, whew, none of those things show up on my radar. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And then it gives us lists too. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, evil communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. Now, if we examine ourselves, do any of these things show up? Well, that's just who I am. It says, put it off. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And then it says, put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So as we examine ourselves according to Colossians chapter 3, what needs to be removed and what needs to be put on? What needs to go and what needs to be added? I'll deal with it. You ought to deal with it right now. Don't delay. What we're going to do now is have a time to examine ourselves. Maybe you want to come to the altar. Maybe you want to pray in your seat. But would you consider Psalm 26 too? As you read over this, you go, well, I'm good. I'm clear. How about you turn your body of work over to God and say, God, will you really look me over? Is there something that ought not to be there? Is there something that should be there that isn't? God, will you examine me? Heavenly Father, I ask you, bless this time of examination. Lord, help us. Help us to be honest with you, with ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a few minutes now.